Good evening. This is Saturday evening, June 28th, 2025. We're studying the back of the book, The Infinite Way. And this is the chapter on Wisdoms of the Infinite Way. I see that we're going to get in pretty deep here. So, be still. Be quiet. Let the Spirit have its way with you. We'll begin with this wisdom. The crucifixion of the self is accomplished when there is nothing left for which you wish to pray. To those unfolding on the spiritual path come the discordant experiences of human life until the transition from this world has been completely accomplished. The desire is to avoid or escape these inharmonies of mind, body, or economic affairs. But this cannot be done, since the discords result solely from the battle with spirit and the flesh. That is, with spiritual consciousness and material sense. Now, do you see that the infinite way is yours so that you will overcome the flesh, overcome material sense, and live in spiritual consciousness? This cannot happen until you recognize what's going on. The entire infinite way is there so that you can overcome material sense and develop, cultivate, come into the conscious awareness of the spiritual universe. The next one is, to those on the way, harmony in human affairs often is a lack of spiritual awakening, and therefore when the battle leading to the overcoming of this world is on, the initiate will remain as quiet as possible under the adverse circumstances, endeavoring to refrain from fighting erroneous conditions, and insofar as possible, letting the warfare go on until the moment of transition arrives. And so you are in the midst of a transition. You are transitioning out of material sense of universe into the spiritual sense of universe, out of a material sense of self into a spiritual sense of self. And this involves some struggle. It involves some pain, because material sense does not want to go. The next one says, when your spiritual study is sincere, the breaking up of your material world, the desertion of friends, students, or family, a change of health, or other outer activity, often ushers in the spiritual transition or rebirth. This is the attainment of that which you have sought. And then a tremendous movement is taking place as the initiate discerns the difference between physical harmony and spiritual wholeness. Retire often into the center of being, my son. Let divine love engulf you. Be at peace in my peace. Do you see what's going on? You have had a material sense of self, a material sense of business, a material sense of health, a material sense of companionship, a material sense of supply. And this now is proving to be a failure. It's proving to be very finite. But come up higher. Use your spiritual discernment. If necessary, ask the Father for help to come up higher, to view the spiritual creation made before the world was. There was a spiritual creation before the world was. And that is where you must live, consciously in that spiritual creation. And these are the steps, these wisdoms are the steps necessary to attain your spiritual awareness. It never was about improving your personal health. It never was about multiplying your personal supply. It never was about finding that perfect companion. It's about making a transition from a being that lives through and in material sense to that being that lives in spiritual sense. It's always been about making a transition. Here you arrive at the great experience, the understanding and attainment of my peace, my wine, my meat, the infinite invisible substance, law, and cause. Next is, oh my child, the blessing that is yours as my peace descends upon you and envelops and sustains you. See, it's not even about your peace. It's about my peace. My peace. And when my peace descends upon you, you know it. You know it. It is wonderful. Now you know the meaning of I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now you know the rest to be found in the Spirit. That which even the harmonies of this world can never give. Peace. Peace. Be still. This is a thing with him, this Santa Claus God. He says, Santa Claus God, The reason all desire is sin is that desire is based on the concept of a giving or a withholding God. Also, desire is based on the acceptance of something or someone or some place other than God. Next is, since God alone is and is omnipresence, prayer, true prayer, is a state of consciousness, a conscious communion in union. Now, I have read or heard that Joel was giving a class, and one of his favorite students was standing out under the trees, and in her arm was a book, and the book was called Scientology. And it broke his heart, because how could someone be studying Scientology when the Infinite Way offered them the Christ? And I think that's when he wrote this. I have been in deep grief, so intense that it has torn me to pieces inside, and wondered, why, O Lord, why? In the depth of it, the answer has come. The world's inability to receive and respond to this Christ, the rejection of it by those who expect to possess the gift of vision, by those we expect to possess the gift of vision, the gross ignorance and darkness of the human thought, these bounce back upon me, these rejections and this opacity. Give me grace to rise above my sorrow. The light shines, the word reveals that when the stumbling block is no longer needed, it is removed. You need not move it, change it, or remove it. It is removed when it is no longer needed. Thank you, Father, for love. Now, I may be wrong on that experience of Joel's, but I understand it. Next is, truth, as it is usually known or declared, is not truth except in God. When one has attained the realization of life in God, it is true that one is spiritual, divine, and God-governed. Now, what is this in God? Do you know what that means? If you start your day with a meditation in which you lay down personal sins and find yourself experiencing God, and if you take that with you throughout the day and night, so that you experience God wherever you go, then you can be said to be living in God, because you're living in God consciously. Spiritual truth is not true about humanhood, but about spirit and its universe. Humanhood is a state of mesmerism, and only as the illusion breaks is one's life in God. Only in God does one attain the realization of perfection, wholeness, completeness, or oneness. Attainment comes only as one is loosed from all concepts of truth, and this comes only by grace. See, not only do your desires have to go, but your concepts, your false concepts, and your material sense of being, all of that has to go so that you can live in God. Divested of all concepts of life, concepts of truth, and concepts of love, one stands in God. Next is, life beyond the grave has no relationship to immortality. Life beyond the grave is but the survival of personality. This personality dies. It must die, either this side or that side of the grave, in order that immortality may be realized. The immortal self is ever present, even when clothed with personality, but is revealed and lived only in proportion as personality, or the human selfhood, disappears. He's really socking it home to you. Your personality must go. Now, I've seen spiritual communicators who close their eyes and commune with Uncle Charlie and tell you that Uncle Charlie's just fine and he sends his love and all that. Uncle Charlie's concerned that you pick the right job, which is coming up, and that sort of thing. That, to me, is the preservation of personality on the other side. Uncle Charlie has not come very far spiritually. Now, you and I, when we pass over, our personality must not come with us. As long as there remains concern for personal good, personal security, personal health, or personal peace of mind, there is that which must die daily, in order that one may be reborn of the Spirit into the realization of immortality here and now. Think of the great, tremendous movement that was taking place as Jesus was being nailed to the cross. The pain, the agony, the humiliation, all of that he was trying to see through in order to realize spiritual sense, spiritual universe, spiritual body here, now. What did he say? Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And so he made it. Although, I think in the pain and agony of crucifixion, it wasn't that easy to maintain a conscious awareness of omnipresence. Yet that's the consciousness that won out. Because he was able to lay down his life and pick it up again at will. Now, you're probably not going to be crucified. But make no mistake about it, you're going to go through a tremendous struggle so that you can realize omnipresence in the midst of material sense. The next one is one of my favorites. Prayer is not an activity of the human mind. Now, we've all sat down to pray. Someone asks us for help. We say, sure, I am with you. And we sit down to be with the eye of them. And immediately the mind starts telling us things. Maybe it quotes scripture or statements of truth. But because of our years of practice, we look at it and we know what's going on. Stand still. Be still, little one. Slowly, quietly, we quiet that mind. Now comes the silence, the stillness within. The mind has decided to act in abeyance, and it is quiet. Now we remember we're supposed to be receptive. We are receptive to the mind which was in Christ Jesus, which is not the human mind. And so as we become still, as we become receptive, we feel a movement of that Christ presence, Christ mind. Maybe it awakens us with one sentence like this. Prayer is not an activity of the human mind. Maybe it comes as a deep sigh, a letting go of material sense, if only for a moment. And maybe it comes as a feeling of the presence. But in one way or another, it lets us know that the human mind is not operating. A transcendental mind is operating. All attempts to contact God through the mind or intellect have failed and always will fail. God can be known only through the soul and the soul faculties. Now, what are your soul faculties? Do you know? Do you operate them? Do they operate you? How do you know? Be still and know that I am God. This knowing is your soul faculty. It's your soul knowing it, not your mind. You see, there again, we have to learn to function as soul and not as mind anymore. This is so huge. You have spent dozens and dozens of lifetimes walking toward this transition. And you are in a place now where you can make the transition consciously, not on accident, consciously. Consciously, I lay down my life. Consciously, I pick up the soul. And I'm beginning to live out from that. The prayer uttered through the intellect can return fruitage only in proportion to one's belief in that prayer. Faith in an unknown God brings only the harmony of blind belief. God must be known and understood through the soul. This next one is just pure beauty. To an advanced student, you have reached the place where you know every truth that can be known, understood, or received humanly. Now, you must reach higher for the truth that reveals itself through spiritual means without human means of communication. And that would be most of us in this group. Why do advanced souls, even practitioners and teachers, still experience ills and other problems? Whatever degree of mortal or material consciousness that still remains in them is expressing itself. There is no unexpressed consciousness, and even a tiny bit of human consciousness remaining will express itself in terms of human good or human evil. This is the law. These two remain side by side until, in proportion as spiritual consciousness unfolds, more and more of material sense is uprooted. Even the resurrection brought forth the material sense of body with all the marks of human error. In the ascension, pure spirituality is revealed. That's pretty heavy. What I get from it is human good and human evil remain side by side until and in proportion as spiritual consciousness unfolds itself. More and more of material sense is uprooted. It's all about this transition from material sense to spiritual consciousness. And we are making that transition. On the spiritual way, many come to barren places, the desert, the wilderness, and believe that God has forsaken them. Often it appears as if Christ has forsaken them. Then it is that the spiritual seeker must remember he has not yet attained what he believed to be the full realization of truth. The Christ or God was not the fullness of the Spirit. These wilderness experiences reveal that he must still press on, for when the light is fully come, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Remember that discords and inharmonies are apparent only to human sense. Spiritual vision sees through to reality. Discords and inharmonies are apparent only to human sense. And so if I see a discord or an inharmony, where am I standing? I'm standing in material sense, the very material sense that I'm supposed to be giving up. Faith does not concern the past or the future. Faith is an activity taking place in the present, now, only now. Now, I've had not such a good time with that word, faith. As a child, I would go to church and I would hear the pastor or preacher say that we have to have faith. And I wondered, where do you get this faith? Because I don't have it. So I would, well, I don't know, I just sort of felt different and other than, because everybody in church seemed to understand it. Oh yes, we need more faith. But I don't know where you get the faith. And I never did. You see, it wasn't enough for me to have faith in God in order to feel okay with myself. No, I had to experience God. I had to have the God experience. And then who needs faith? You know that God is. You don't need any faith. You know. And maybe it's my misunderstanding of the word faith. I don't know. But Joel says, faith is an activity of consciousness, just as much as integrity. Faith is always present in you, even though, like integrity, it may be dormant. The recognition and acknowledgement of this, of the omnipresence of faith as an activity of individual consciousness, starts the flow of it into visible and tangible effect. Faith is a quality of God, not of man. But as a quality of God, it is present in all its fullness. Next is, do not expect the power of God to function in the dream, but rather to break the dream. Now that should cause you to stop and say, what does that mean? Well, we know that God doesn't operate in the human scene, so all our attempts to pull him into the human scene through prayer are wasted effort. It's not going to happen. So God doesn't operate in that dream. But God breaks the dream. Human sense, when God is present, dissolves. It just starts to dissolve. And so in that sense, God breaks the dream. But does the coming of dawn, does it break the darkness? Or does it reveal in the presence of dawn there is no darkness? Do not contact God to adjust, change, or heal the dream. The understanding or awareness of God breaks the dream. Okay. To know that one has been functioning in the dream is the beginning of the awakening. I wish that all of us, whenever we have a not so good experience, something physically, financially, relationship wise, I wish that we could stop right then and say, wait a minute, this is the dream Joel tells me about. And only the presence of God can break or dissolve the dream. And so I'm coming within to experience that presence of God. Now, speak, Father. Reveal thyself. And wait. And wait. And wait. Next is true non-resistance is the ability not to expect God to function in the dream. This does not mean that one lives without God, but rather one finds his life to be eternally in God. To refrain from seeking the help of God is to be functioning in reality. Think of that. When you're no longer seeking help from God, you are functioning in reality. Because why would you stop seeking help from God? Because you know I and the Father are one. I don't have to inform God. Omniscience takes care of all that. These wisdoms, indeed, this whole book, and particularly the next chapter called The New Horizon, it is all to lift us out of material sense into a spiritual consciousness. No longer reaching out to God, no longer seeking God's help, is to be awakening out of the dream into reality. Why? Because if you're standing there as a human being, you feel you need God's help. But if you're standing there as spiritual consciousness, you already know omniscience, omnipotence, omnipresence. And this presence, oh God, it's wonderful. Whenever there is a sense of needing God, one is functioning in the dream. I don't know about you, but I must be functioning in the dream quite a bit. God is not power in the sense of power over evil, over sin, disease, or death. God is not power in any sense involving battle, that is, overcoming or destroying. God is life. God is love. God is. Nothing else is, only God is. Now that's a meditation right there. Nothing else is, only God is. Do not be concerned about your relationships with people. Consciously maintain your relationship with God. This will take care of everything else. The next one is keep your realization of your relationship with God sacred and secret. This relationship, maintained in silence and secrecy, appears outwardly as harmonious human relationships and experiences. God is the cement between you and your brothers and sisters of the human, animal, vegetable, and mineral families. When thought dwells on person, place, or thing, you are functioning in the dream. That's one you can take and keep close to heart. Am I thinking about person, place, or thing? When your thoughts unite in spiritual contemplation, every person, place, or thing becomes a spiritual delight. The two great commandments are cosmic law. Thou shalt have no other god or power. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Cast your bread upon the waters. For by strength shall no man prevail. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries. These things we perceive with the five senses are objects of mind, with no relationship whatsoever to truth. All appearances are sense objects, not of God or truth. All that is objectively witnessed must be understood to be mental images or mind projections, never spiritual reality. The reality underlies the sense formation, but is discerned only by spiritual consciousness. The next one is, the sense world, human experience, takes place in time and space, and this in itself precludes its being spiritual in nature. And so if it takes place in time or space, it's illusion. Well, I was born in 1954. That's an illusion. My wife died, passed on 2 years ago. Illusion. The universe of spirit, truth, God, is an activity in eternity. Thus understood, neither birth, disease, accident, nor death has ever occurred. So birth has never occurred. In every instance, when presented with the appearance of humanhood, even good human beings or conditions, remember that this is not truth, but a mental image and thought, without reality, without law, substance, cause, or effect. Then see deeper into consciousness and behold that which is eternity, even in what appears as past, present, or future. And finally, if it takes place in time and space, do not accept it at its appearance value, but search deeper in the realm of the soul. And those are the wisdoms of the infinite way. Each one, and sometimes part of one, can be taken into meditation and can lift you out of some bit of material sense. I suggest you read these slowly to yourself until one of them seems to call to you. It will have the feeling that it was written for you. Such as this one. I have told you the real secret of life. God is not with mortals. Take it from there. Now that sort of haunted me. What does that mean? Why is it sort of pulling me? God is not with mortals. Take it from there. How much of my day-to-day experience is with mortals? Yet, he says the real secret is that God is not with mortals. God is not in the human scene. Sometimes the wisdom shocks you. It makes the mind turn off. It shocks the mind into stillness, into silence. And if you find one that does that to you, hug it close to your chest. That is for you. And you will find it is your closest friend for a while on this path. You will find you cannot, as it opens up and unfolds to you, you cannot explain it to your friends. You can't post a message to the board, to our group, about everything that's coming to you. No, you know you must stand still. You must be silent. You must be secret about what's coming. And the tighter you hold it, the more silent you become, the more it will reveal all of its beauty to you. So take these wisdoms and take one at a time. Find the ones that call to you. Take those into your meditation. And join us in the fellowship of the Spirit. You know, there are many of us, particularly in this group, that I have observed are making this transition from material sense to spiritual consciousness. Only we're not talking about it. We're just doing it. Oh, and I want to take a moment and thank everyone for their meditations at 7:30 for Israel and Iran and the United States and Canada and Ukraine and Russia. You are making a difference. Not you, but your spiritual awareness. And so let us continue. I want to continue at 7:30. We will meditate on letting the images go. We will meditate on seeing the reality. That's the only thing that can be there. We're here. And then we will rest in that reality. You're doing some really good work, and I thank you. We have come to the end of the wisdoms. Next week, or thereabouts, maybe the week after, we are going to dive into the new horizon. That is a chapter like no other, because it was written or dictated by Christ, by the living Christ, and only one with the mind that was in Christ Jesus could receive that. So it is very transforming. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be ye transformed by the new horizon. Be ye transformed by the Christ of you. Let us be still. Come within here and see if anything is revealed. Son, thou art ever with me. All that I have is thine. And so God is not in the human scene, and neither am I. God is not born and cannot die, and neither can I. God is omnipresence, as am I. Come within here to that deep well of contentment. Contentment because we know that omnipresence is reality. Contentment because we know that it's the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Contentment because we know that all that the Father has is mine. The voice of the Father within you says, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest. The battle is not yours. What battle? The battle between spiritual consciousness and material sense. That battle is not yours, but mine, saith the Lord. Thank you for joining me in this study of the wisdoms of the Infinite Way. As beautiful as all this is, it's much more beautiful when there's someone to share it with. And you are that someone. So thank you. And thank you also for your letters of love, your kind donations, everything that makes this a loving experience. In this period in my life, which is an illusion because I don't have a life, but in this time, you have been the Christ to me. You have been love to me. And I don't know how I can repay you other than to say I love you and to do my best to bring out the truth that reveals itself in these writings. So we will press on. Hopefully you will join us for the study of the New Horizon. And hopefully in your experience you are coming to that New Horizon. Blessings to each and every one of you. However far away you are in appearance, I know we are one in experience. Blessings, my friend.